out there, and welcome to the third annual Oscar special.
Hello, Radio Lad.
Yes, I'm your host, Sean. I'm here with
Sam.
And on the Skype hotline for the first year, we've got
John.
John, you seem so happy to be here.
I didn't make this year's In Memory Of montage. So.
Yes. Yeah, I forgot that's an actual thing during the Oscars. Anyway.
That's like a big thing. That's like,
that is a big thing.
The Oscars does two things. Actually, the Oscars does three things. They sing some songs, they give out an awards, and we like, oh yeah, that guy died.
Yeah. It's always sad.
It's always like, oh yeah, that guy died. And then like, oh yeah, he died.
Yeah, it's like, oh.
Or yeah, she.
He died.
And then there's the one, it's like, oh man, who do you think? Do you think we got, like, a big one coming? Because there's always, like, the one it's like, oh, man, they just updated it, like, yesterday morning for
this
guy.
Well, no, it has to be of the prior year. So it has to be before January 1st.
Now, I thought it was Oscars to Oscars.
I don't think so.
I thought it was Oscars to Oscars,
anyways,
too.
We're getting off track. We're getting a little morbid here.
This is important.
Yeah, this is important.
Sam, you should look that up.
Who died this year?
We'll find out on Sunday. Yes, the Oscars
That's
are this Sunday.
The Oscars are just for us to check who died.
Yeah, so make sure you tune in for the In Memoriam. Anyways, so this is our Oscar special. 91st Academy Awards. 91 of them, and we've only been covering three of them. Awesome.
How did they manage to deal with it before us?
I don't know. Before our wild-ass guests.
It was nothing before us.
No, it wasn't. I hope everybody's got their ballots ready. Ready to fill out, get some good input from us. We've painstakingly gone through this ballot, all 24 categories, filled out what we think is going to win, what we want to win in a few categories. And even Chris, he sent me his full of random notes, so hopefully I can get those out to you guys.
Rambling, random, paranoid notes.
Yes, I'm getting a little concerned because it's in like five different handwritings. without further ado, let's get right into this. So first up, we've got the animated short film. This is a no-brainer here. You go with the Pixar one. Bao.
Oh, I thought that was Bao.
Or, I don't know.
Because my pick was going to be that one, because I just imagined a short animated film just about Scott Bao. That's what I thought it was about.
No, it's about, it's kind of like about parents letting go.
That's not going to be a cheerjerker at all.
No, of course not. So, yeah, no, it came before Incredibles 2. If you want to watch it, it's probably on the YouTube these days.
The YouTubes.
So very easy, boom, out of the way. I had Bao. Sam, you had Bao, I'm assuming.
Yeah, because I thought it was about
John,
Scott
I'm
Bao.
Assuming you had that. You had the Scott Bao short film.
Death, taxes, and Pixar wins the short.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah, three things you can always guarantee. All right. So, yeah, that was I would say, so Chris said he's leaving the shorts out. He didn't choose any of the live action short film, any of those, because he might see them before Sunday.
Plus, he thinks the Illuminati picks these. So,
that's true. Yeah, I know. So,
Sam. So, moving on. Our next category is Best Animated Feature.
Ooh.
So, got a lot of good movies here. I've only seen one of them, so I'm going with the one I've seen. Plus, I just feel like this one deserves to win because it was really good.
Can we just really quickly just run through the nominees?
Yeah, go ahead.
The nominees are The Incredibles, Isle of Dogs, Murata. It's an anime, whatever. Ralph Breaks the Internet and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. I'm going with Spider-Man.
My heart wants to say Isle of Dogs, but I'm going to go with the Spider-Men Into the Spider-Verse.
I agree with you guys. I think Spider-Man's got this one in lock. Chris does not. Chris is going Incredibles 2.
Yeah, like I feel like it might go to Incredibles 2.
I don't think so, because like
you've seen them both.
I've seen them both, and like Incredibles 2, it's like it's good, kind of like the first one, but just Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, it was just so amazing. It was funny. It was action-packed. It was, you know, hit you right in the feels. It
had Spider-Pig in it.
Yeah.
Spider-Pig, I feel like this is a category where there's always, like, only one real movie. Like, one real contender every year.
Oh, yeah. No, it's usually Pixar. But I feel like Pixar definitely... I don't want to say they lowballed it, but, I mean, Spider-Man was just so good. It was just so good. Plus, it's winning all the awards, too. That's
all
of the awards it's up again for, it's been winning. So it looks like it's a powerhouse going into this one.
All right. Well, our next category we got here, foreign language film, which is notable as it has a Best Picture nominee in it.
Yeah.
Almost kind of by default, it's like, well, wouldn't that be the best?
It'd
be kind of weird if it wasn't.
Yeah.
But the nominees, and I don't have the country of origin for most of these, but Capernaum, which I've never seen, Cold War, which I think will be available on Amazon at some point.
And I believe that's Polish.
Yes,
yeah.
It is Polish. It's in black and white, which of all these is probably the one that probably got the widest release in the U.S., weirdly enough, because Roma really didn't, and I feel like Cold War was at least at a couple places, but anyway.
Roma's in every household, so I mean, that had a pretty wide release.
Right. If you're going to buy those archaic standards. Never Look Away, Roma, Shoplifters. I only saw one of these movies, but it's also the movie that's going to win. I am saying Roma.
Yeah, it's definitely
Roma. It's got to be Roma.
Like, no brainer.
With a dark horse with Cold War, because Cold War is the only other one with nominated for another category.
Right. But, I mean, Roma's a Best Picture nominee. Would Never Look Away?
Yeah, it's... No. Cold War is Best Director, and is it under... Yeah, Best Cinematography, too.
Oh, okay. So two other. So it's got a chance, but it's Roma.
I feel like it's got to be Roma.
We're gonna get into the odds makers on some of the bigger categories in a little bit.
All right.
But, like, I feel like this one, even if it was going to be posted somewhere, like, they just wouldn't take odds on it. Like, it's so far and away definitely a Roma. Like, it's not even.
Yeah.
If it's not Roma, like, this whole thing is going to be, like, a shit show of, like, what the hell is going on.
There will be riots.
So, all right. So, next one. Live action short film. I haven't seen any of them, but I did, like, look into these things. And so, I went with, Marguerite? Whatever. It's about a woman's struggle. Into finding out that she's a lesbian due to her nurse coming out to her or something like that. It's gotten a lot of buzz around the interwebs. So it looks like it might do well. A lot of buzz around it is what I'm saying. So I'm going with that one. Anybody got any other better choices?
I'll go with Mother because I don't know. Maybe I just have some maternal issues that I need to work out.
All right, John.
So I'll go with that one.
I have not seen these either, although I wish 1 year I'll get around to actually seeing the shorts.
I mean,
I'll say Detainment.
Yeah, the Avon Theater down in Providence, I know, is showing all of the shorts. Yeah. So.
Yeah. But unfortunately, they're also doing that like this week, so it's
it's like, what's the point? I mean.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What was your choice, though, John?
Oh, sorry. I said Detainment.
Oh, Detainment. Okay. All right. I mean,
what's your reasoning behind that? I mean,
I don't have any.
All right.
So your answer is Detained. All right.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is our first wag of the evening.
Not the last.
Nope. All right.
All right. So next we got sound editing, which is a thing that I believe is just them editing the sound in.
Well, why don't we have the only award-winning sound editor
on
the podcast explain what sound mixing
sound editing.
So drop that bombshell. Yes, I am an award-winning sound editor. I won it last year. I can't tell you the difference.
After, we should explain.
Yeah, no, I don't. I honestly, I don't know. I've never known the difference between editing and mixing. I think mixing is the sound effects, whereas editing is the editing of, like,
yeah,
the everything that's recorded
putting,
on film.
Putting the sound in.
So the mixing is like the levels.
I think so.
The clarity, the editing is sort of
putting it in there.
No, maybe
everything together.
Maybe the editing is like the levels and stuff, and putting it in there. But the mixing is maybe just like the actual creation of the sounds.
Maybe.
So it's a good guess. What I like about this category is that every year, 4 of the 5 movies are the same for each category.
Yeah,
but they change out one specifically, so they're like, ah, no, it's different.
It's totally different.
This year, it's what, Quiet Place for editing, and was A Star Is Born.
Well, let me go through the sound editing ones. We got Black Panther, mm-hmm. Bohemian Rhapsody, First Man, A Quiet Place, and Roma.
All right, so Sam, which one are you going with?
You know what? I just like this movie. It's my favorite movie from the year, so I'm gonna go with First Man.
First Man, okay. John?
I would also give it to First Man. I suspect it's going to be either Black Panther or Bohemian Rhapsody, which I'm gonna say Black Panther.
You think Black Panther's gonna take it?
Yeah, although I would give it to First Man. I think in my review I was like, this movie, like, you knew it was going to win the Oscar for sound editing, like, a minute in, and I guess I was just wrong.
Yeah, the sound was so really good.
Yeah, based on you two, both of your reviews on this, I also went First Man, just because of how much you guys praised the sound in this film.
I mean, if you're doing a space movie, you better get sound down.
Yeah.
Because, like, just after, like, 2001 was like, yeah, space is all about sound.
Yeah.
Sean, you should totally stream this, like, one afternoon, by the way. Maybe if you know, the GF isn't around, like, just blast it in your basement, because, like, you got a good sound setup for it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's on demand now, right?
It's out there.
It is.
I mean, I can get it on the Fire Stick. Anyways, so next category, John.
So sound mixing.
It's different.
It's totally different.
Which also features Black Panther, Bohemian Rhapsody, First Man, and Roma, but also A Star Is Born. And I'm going to give the same exact answer, because that's just how these always go. The Oscar, you know, despite the one different nomination between the two, the Oscar almost always goes the same. Which you think they would split it and be like, oh, but, you know,
it's different.
Yeah. We'll recognize both. You know, split the baby, because they totally can, but they won't. So I'm going to say Black Panther.
You're going Black Panther as well?
Yes, although right. I would still give it to First Man.
All right, I'm going First Man again, Sam. I'm assuming First Man.
I'm going to just throw a curveball and be like, A Star Is Born.
Really?
I have no reason why. I'm just going to be like,
boom. Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. We have our.
I think First Man should win based off of sound.
All right.
Just in general.
So Chris has a little note. First of all, Chris said Bohemian Rhapsody for this one. He agreed with First Man on the last one, but he said Bohemian on sound mixing. But he said if Black Panther does not win either of the sound categories, there is absolute no chance of it winning Best Picture. Not quite sure what he means by that.
I think that's a pretty good indicator.
Yeah.
If something weird's going to happen, like, okay, Black Panther needs to definitely pick off the sound categories, because it was extremely strong there. I mean, I think I picked it, but, you know, I thought the sound was great in Black Panther. And, like, if it's getting bypassed or something like that, then I think, like, I think there's a chance Black Panther threads the needle on the whole thing, but, like, it's gotta build along the way. You know what I mean? Like, it's gotta pick off some, like, good categories along the way, because, you know, if you look at, like, the big 8, big 6 categories, as they say, it's really not represented at all. In fact, I don't think adapted screenplay? No, I don't think so. Right?
No.
Yeah. So, no, you know, the only
no director, no actor, no actress.
the only thing it's up for in the big eight categories is Best Picture, so it's got to kind of rack up some small points along the way.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. So we got production design. The nominees are Black Panther, The Favorite, First Man, Mary Poppins, Poppins Returns, and Roma, which, as a group, we have seen all of them but Mary Poppins. So I feel like this one, we actually have a pretty good idea of which one we would choose. I went with, so the Academy loves those period pieces. They have a huge hard-on for them. Plus, it looked nice, even though I didn't watch it. I've seen plenty of trailers and whatnot. I went with The Favorite.
Went with The Favorite?
Yes.
So I'm going with the one that I think might actually deserve this, because the sets were really good in it. Black Panther.
They were CGI, though. There was a lot of CGI.
But, like, the waterfall scene, that was all, like, an actual set.
Okay.
Like, but the fight scene.
The casino scene, like there was some really cool stuff.
There was.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it to The Favorite, just because I think it was just a little bit more distinct and kind of... I just think it kind of just narrowly beats out Black Panther in my mind, mm-hmm. and I think it'll go to The Favorite too. So
all right, Sam.
So next we got
this is a fun one.
Best documentary short film. Haven't seen any of these.
What are the nominees, Sam?
But the nominees are Black Sheep, Endgame, Lifeboat, A Night at the Garden, and Period. End of sentence.
All right.
So, just depending on the names, I don't know if any of these are, because it seems to me there's always one of these a year are always about, like, veteran suicides.
I don't know why that's funny.
It should be, but, like, it's a very serious issue.
Well, it's
people.
An oddly specific thing to keep coming up over
but
and over.
But it keeps coming up, almost like we're not dealing with it, but...
Yeah. Who knew?
Who knew? But maybe Black Sheep? I don't know. But I do know what this one's about, so mostly because we talked about it right before. I'm going to go with Night at the Garden.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so Nazi rally in the 30s at Madison Square Garden.
Yep.
I went with that one. I feel like could possibly win. It was like my close number two. My number one, I went with Black Sheep. So it's about a murder of a young boy in London or wherever over in the UK. And then, like, it's all about, like, how, like, the family, like, of, like, a friend moved away. And, like, then the kid got involved with a gang and stuff like that, gang violence, stuff like that. So I was like, oh, okay. I feel like that's good, you know, good choice right there. John, what do you got?
Well, this will be one of the last wags, but I'm just going to say Night at the Garden, as it's the only one that seemed to immediately pique my interest.
Uh-huh.
So
plus I've heard of it outside of this.
Yeah.
That's true. And it seems like, you know, the message the Academy would want to send would be consistent with that movie.
Yeah, that's true. That's why it's so close for a second. Whereas if it won over Black Sheep, I would not be mad. I would be like, okay, I kind of saw that coming.
Because, like, Night at the Garden is one of the documentaries where I'd be like, you know what, I might want to check that out. Yeah.
Especially and
typically, too, like, I feel like a lot of... I don't even know if this movie is necessarily supposed to be politically charged or anything like that, but movies with a political message specifically seem to overperform or outperform in the Oscar categories.
Yeah.
Over time. Yes. So.
All right. Moving on. John.
Oh, sorry. I've got Best Documentary Feature, which we also are all of these again.
This is usually a category where I've seen at least a couple, because I like documentaries, but I've actually not seen any
big,
of these.
Big story about this group of individuals. Noah, Won't You Be My Neighbor?
Yeah, yeah, which I heard like was really
amazing
good.
Amazing reviews, and it got snubbed for some reason.
Yeah, as well as this other one that, you know, we obviously, we're not really a doc-heavy podcast, but right. Three Identical Strangers, which also got a little bit of buzz over the summer. Mm-hmm. And both, did, you know, we're in theaters. Like, you know, you don't usually have a lot of widespread yeah. stuff for the docs, but...
Didn't Won't You Be My Neighbor, I think that's like the top grossing documentary of all time
yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah, it did well.
Yeah, it did amazingly yeah, well.
I think you're right there, Sean. Yeah, it did not, at the end of the day, measure up here. Yeah. What was nominated was Free Solo, Hale County This Morning, This Evening, Minding the Gap, Of Fathers and Sons, and RBG. I'm just going to say Free Solo.
Free Solo. That's a good guess.
It sounds really cool, guys. Yeah, and I think RBG is on the nose.
Right. Yeah, so Free Solo is about, the guy climbing the mountain or whatever.
Yeah.
Without any gear. So doing it by hand, solo, if you would.
I hate you.
Oh, God, Sean. Bring the Star Wars holiday special.
Yes. I'm bringing Aunt Connie in here.
He won an Oscar.
Exactly.
Holiday special, by the way, like, I don't know if these even existed, but you feel like it would have won a Golden Globe, right? Like, it just feels like the kind of thing where, like, the Golden Globes is just so far off in, like, a weird way that they would just give it something. Anyway.
Anyway. So I went with RBG, but Free Solo was a really close second once again.
RBG is a good guess.
Chris went with RBG. He said his note here says, I really don't know how this doesn't win, given that what she's done for women's rights and how there are no female director nominees.
True, yeah. That okay. might be
well, that's why On the Basis of Sex also got all these nominations. Oh, wait.
All right, that was a bad movie. So I'm going with Free Solo because I've had this movie recommended to me.
Okay.
Like, I've heard people be like, you should see this.
And RBG is on Hulu, so it's very easy to get to.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe so. I'll check that out someday. But
yeah. So
yeah.
My turn. So we've got Best Adapted Screenplay up next. We've got The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, Black Klansman, Can You Ever Forgive Me, If Beale Street Could Talk, and A Star Is Born. Looking at
is
all
it
of them,
Beagle Street.
No, it's not Beagle, it's Beale.
Is it Beale?
B-E-A-L-E.
I thought it was Beagle Street.
It is not.
All right.
Trust me. of all those, I've seen a couple of them. I've heard about all of them. But I went with the one I feel like would win, which would be Black Klansman.
All right, you're going Black
Klansman. I'm going Black Klansman.
All right. You saw Black Klansman, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah. You did see that. All right.
I did. With Alec Baldwin.
So I've admittedly only seen like 3/5 of this movie, but it was a good 3/5. The Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Okay.
Just because the stories that I've seen so far, I'm missing, like, I think two. Because eventually I'll get back to it. It's just such an easy film to just stop watching.
Yeah.
But, like, it just has some really interesting, really compelling stories. Mm. Like, the miner. I love that line where, like, he ain't nothing important. The miner one. The Ballad of Buster Scruggs was really good.
Mm.
It was about the singing cowboy who just is, like, amazing at killing people.
Chris says Ballad of Buster Scruggs should win, but his pick is Black Klansman.
All right.
So I would actually probably go the same way. I would say the same thing as Chris. And I think part of what's going to happen with Black Klansman is that I think people, this is going to be Spike Lee's Oscar.
Mm.
Not that, you know, I mean, I hope he's in the conversation again. But I think they want to strike while the iron's hot.
This is his first nomination as director.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is
I mean, kind of crazy. I mean, yeah. Do the Right Thing is a really good movie, and that's, you know.
I will see that movie someday.
Someday. Well, you'll really want a slice of pizza afterwards. All right, so best original script.
Sam's up.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Stepping on toes over here.
Whoa. Whoa. Best original screenplay is my turn.
All right, what do you got, man?
All right, so best original screenplay. All I have to say is Green Book's on this list, and I could have sworn that is a book.
No. Which,
it was not?
Sam, just because it has book in the title.
No, but does like not mean it's an original screenplay. It's based off of a book written by the son of Viggo Mortensen's character, and he also wrote the screenplay.
I don't think so.
I could be wrong.
By the way, I'm pretty sure that's not the case, Sam, because the adapted screenplay, like, Ballad of Buster Scruggs is an adapted screenplay because they took, like, two very small, insignificant parts of, like, O. Henry short stories
for
segments, and, like, that made it an adapted screenplay, so I'm pretty sure if there was an entire book.
No, I'm in agreement with you. That's why I'm like, why is it an original and not an adapted?
Right.
But anyways, so our nominees for Best Original are The Favorite, First Reformed, Green Book, Roma, and Vice. And, you know what? I like this movie. It was an enjoyable movie. Had an interesting story, so I'm going to go with The Favorite.
Mm, I agree. Favorite, very good original story.
You saw it, right?
I did not.
You did not see it?
No.
So you're just going off of the thing. Because
remember when
about.
You was it? I was like, I was talking about how Black Klansman was like, it was good, but I was bored. Mm-hmm. And you were like, oh God, don't see The Favorite then. So,
do you enjoy when a movie's like a little weird?
I don't mind a little weird. I've always wanted to see The Lobster, so I mean, I feel like I need to see The Lobster before I see The Favorite.
Like,
you'd be good either way.
Like, the Lobster is, and in my opinion, probably slower than The Favorite, but it's definitely weirder. But The Favorite is still weird.
Okay. Yeah.
I honestly have no idea if I finished The Lobster or not. I couldn't tell you. If you put a gun to my head, I'd probably.
Did you get to the they're sitting in a diner and he goes to go blind himself?
Maybe? Because
that's how the movie ends.
Okay.
All right.
Maybe.
It's a slow-moving movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. As was The Favorite, but despite that, I guess I'll give it best screenplay.
All right. Best director.
I mean, I don't think I'm really blown away by any of the other ones, to be honest.
Yeah.
I could see Green Book possibly winning, but I think it's going to be The Favorite.
Yeah,
I
mean, Chris is going Green Book.
The problem I have with Green Book is that it's kind of a generic story.
Mm. Yeah, and it's a little, there's moments of it that are like a little much.
Yeah, yeah. And like just,
I guess I just said a little much, but like all of The Favorite is a little much.
Yeah, true.
I don't know. Maybe, you know, you eat too much cake, you just keep throwing up. Speaking of throwing up, makeup and hairstyling, although oddly not nominated.
John, I just got that. That's a nice reference to The Favorite, actually.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Took me like a second, but I was like, oh yeah, that does happen in that.
There's like, Sam, I'm just going to digress for a second here. If I was like, three things happened in The Favorite, what were the three things that happened in The Favorite? What would you say?
Rabbits, whorehouse, and hand job.
I would say Duck Race.
Oh yeah, Duck Race.
Emma Stone's nipple, and
you were more impressed by that than I was. But...
Well, it was just so out of nowhere.
Yeah, kind of.
It was a shocking moment. Like, it wasn't even like, oh sweet. It was just like, whoa.
I wasn't that shocked by it, but yeah. Again, I knew about it going in, but still. Yeah.
The third thing I would say is her like just eating cake and throwing it up within minutes, and then eating more cake. Okay, but we have the show must go on here. Makeup and hairstyling, Border, Mary Queen of Scots, which oddly none of us ended up seeing.
Chris kept saying he wanted to see it.
Mary Queen of Scots, like when it just didn't get any nominations, I was like, okay, so it's one of those movies where it's like it's trying really hard to be an Oscar movie, and it's not.
And you know what, man? I already saw The Outlaw King, and like I knew I was going to see The Favourite too. So
yet enough of like a great British monarchy.
Yeah, it was going to be a lot. Anyway, Border, Mary Queen of Scots, and Vice. It's going to be Vice.
Vice.
Just as.
Yeah, I mean, Vice, even though it's like he put on that weight.
Yeah, he still. He,
it wasn't like. It was in a fat suit.
The hair and stuff like that.
Yeah, the hair and stuff. Yeah, so.
He needed the makeup to look more like him, too. I mean, the weight helped, but you need the makeup and hairstyling to make everybody look the part.
Yeah, especially, you know, aging, too. You know, like, it's a very wide range for all the characters. I mean, Amy Adams, too.
Yeah.
True, yeah.
So Chris went with Mary Queen of Scots, by the way.
Has he seen Mary Queen?
I don't know. He didn't leave a note for that one, so he went with Mary Queen of Scots.
Are you sure he didn't go with Border?
Like, there's always, for some reason, makeup and hairstyling, there's always only three.
There's always three. And this should be renamed as the Suicide Squad category, because that's somehow won that category.
I always feel there's like...
But like, I don't think it was unfair, though, that it won, weirdly enough.
You thought it was better than Star Trek?
What was it? It was up against Star Trek?
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't think Star Trek, like... had its arms around the reward, you know? Like, I don't think it, like...
I think it was just three horrible choices. I think the other one was, like, the 100-year-old man who got up and ran away or something like that.
Or, like, Snow White and the Huntsman or some shit like that.
Like, it's always, like, two films you've heard of and like, then, one random then, French film.
Like, Border.
It's Border French.
I don't know what it is. I don't even know what it's about.
I always feel like the third one's always French.
I think it's actually Scandinavian, but...
Close enough.
Anyway, next up we got best costume design.
The French of the North.
Yeah, that's me. That's me. I got best costume design. So the nominees for best costume design: Ballad of Buster Scruggs, Black Panther, The Favorite, Mary Poppins Returns, and Mary Queen of Scots. I feel like all of those very strong.
Yeah, then these are very strong in this category.
Yeah. Because all of them depict a different time period, and all of them did a great job depicting it. I'm going to nix one right away. Mary Poppins Returns, no. Because they're just copying what was already done.
True, but like, you know, never discount the Oscars loving old Hollywood.
That's true. But I went with the movie that I've been running with this whole time that I've yet to see, and that is The Favorite. That is my
choice.
That
is your favorite.
It's a period piece. The costumes look awesome. I'm going with it.
All right. Mine, once again, I feel like it had such good costumes in it. Mostly just the guy with the lip thing. I'm going to go with Black Panther. Because solely based off of my love of that character. And that's my true. Love of that character is solely based off his costumes. He had one line in the entire movie. But every time he was on the screen, I'm like, he's that guy. That guy's cool. I love that guy.
John, what do you got?
Yeah, as we said, it's a really strong category, but I'm going to go with Black Panther.
Wow. And Chris is going The Favorite, so we're literally splitting.
Ooh.
That's a good split right there. So I basically, what that tells me is it's one or the other. And I probably would say if it wasn't The Favorite, it would probably be Black Panther. Because the costumes are pretty good.
Yeah, the costumes are amazing. All right, so next is Best Cinematography.
Ooh.
We got nominees are Cold War, The Favorite, Never Look Away, Roma, and A Star is Born.
All right.
So I haven't seen Roma and A Star is Born, so I'm not entirely sure about the cinematography in those.
Basically, which movie do you think looked the prettiest?
Well, yeah, I know what cinematography
I know
is.
You do, but the audience might not.
But,
nice here.
You know what? It had just interesting cinematography in it, so I'm going to say The Favorite.
Okay.
Because just those like weird like shots that were like low shots that just panned around and stuff instead of just cutting, and just it was interesting.
Okay.
And it worked.
John?
With respect to The Favorite, I would say it was interesting. I don't know if it entirely worked, but I just think in this case, they're just really outclassed by Roma, which, as much as it is an eat your vegetables kind of movie, and being in black and white, despite those two, it really is kind of like a feast for the eyes. It looks beautiful.
Yeah, Chris and I both agree with you.
Have you seen it?
I have not, and I'm terrified to see it because I know it's going to be me sitting there for 2.5 hours going, oh my God, 5 minutes has gone by. Dear God, when is this going to be over?
Yeah.
Just like I've always said, I'm not entertained by these kind of movies. I acknowledge the greatness that they are, but I'm not entertained by
them. Let's get Lady Gaga's in it. Then you're,
eating
it up.
Is that Bradley Cooper right there? You know. That's why I need that Bradley Cooper.
Did you like Silver Linings Playbook?
Never saw it.
Yeah, it's been overrated.
You think it's... I don't know. I always like that movie. It's easy to watch.
It's easy to watch, and it's not, it's not bad in any way.
It's like Green Book.
Kind of, yeah. It's kind of like Green Book.
It's like really strong acting. Everybody's kind of charming in their own way.
Yeah.
Decent soundtrack.
All right. So, moving on, John.
All right. Best original song. Really starting to heat up now.
Yeah.
All of the Stars, I believe, by Kendrick Lamar.
You are correct.
From the movie Black Panther.
Yep.
I'll Fight by, I think, Jennifer Hudson.
Correct.
We don't have the artist name here, so it's a little hard.
Yeah.
On the vowel we're using, The Place Where Lost Things Go, which is by
Emily Blunt.
Emily Blunt, yeah.
Blunt, written by our boy, whose name escapes me right now.
Oh, God.
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Who's really starting to rack up some noms here.
Yeah.
Shallow, which is obviously by Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga from A Star Is and When a Cowboy Trades His Spurs for Wings. Probably my favorite single nominee of anything in here this year. From the Ballad of Buster Scruggs, performed by Tim Blake Nelson and I can't think of the other guy's name. But I've been listening to the Buster Scruggs soundtrack a little bit.
Oh.
And honestly, I come back to that song, and I want it to win so fucking bad, but I know it's like just not going to happen. Even if like, if what I think is probably the winner in Shallow wasn't there, it would still have no chance whatsoever. And it bumps me out a little bit. But hey, at least we have like 5 songs this year. There's years where like. Original song is like 2 songs.
No, it's always 5 because they have to perform them at.
Now go back like 2 or 3 years where there was like 1 song that was in the movie Rio and like something else.
Oh, okay.
It's not super common that there's always like original songs, but in this case there were 5. I honestly couldn't tell you what All the Stars sounds like.
Yeah, it's like. I don't remember much.
Hip hoppy and stuff. I sort of listened to all these recently. That's why.
Like I don't remember much from the Black Panther soundtrack.
Okay.
I
just remember it being kind of cool in general. Although we'll get to the score in a minute.
Yeah, we're not there yet,
guys. I'm giving it to Shallow because I think it's just the single best movie moment of the year. What will be considered the most memorable movie moment of the year.
It's what got me excited for this movie. On it, like that's the point that it reeled me in. So Shallow.
And I think it's a fucking. It would legit be a travesty if it doesn't win.
Yes.
So,
but I could honestly see it happening
because it's not only a hit song on the radio, but it's also a hit song from one of the Best Picture noms. So like you got to like hand in hand. It's like it was a good movie with a good song. Like it kind of has to win because the only kind of correlation or like comparison I can do with this is like when Justin Timberlake did was it that song for Trolls? It's like, yeah, it was a good song on the radio, but it was Trolls. Come on, people. Like, that's not a good movie. So we're, in this case, it's like two big things. It's a good song with a good movie. So
my personal choice is when a cowboy trades his spurs for wings. That just is a great moment in the film. It's a great song. But it's fucking everywhere. So the Shallow.
Yeah, it's Shallow.
It's got to be Shallow. It's fucking everywhere.
Yeah. All right.
Shallow.
Yeah. So,
we're far from the shallows now. And I haven't even seen the movie yet. And I'm like, I know half the words.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to continue the song. You done now?
Yeah, I'm done.
Oh, okay, okay. So, next up, I'm glad I got this category. So, best original score. This is awesome because I literally... So, we were pretty bombed at work today, but I made it my intention... I listened to every single one of these soundtracks.
I like that you just admitted you're bombed at work.
No, bombed as in like busy.
I know, but like, we. All right. Anyway.
Anyways, I'm confused. So I sat down. I listened to all of these. So the, well, all but one. You'll understand which one in a second. So we got Black Panther, Black Klansman. If Beale Street Could Talk, Isle of Dogs, and Mary Poppins Returns. And I was like, there's no chance Mary Poppins winning that one. I just scratched that one.
Really?
Yeah, no.
This could be like one that it could sneak in with.
It could. It is a musical, so a lot of all the music is them singing, which I was like, but after listening to them all, I basically narrowed it down to two. Black Panther was amazing, just with the how they pulled in all the African sounds of like the music and
that
whatnot.
Is true.
It's so awesome. All the different instruments and whatnot, and the choruses and the languages and whatnot. Beautiful soundtrack. Surprising one though. If Beale Street Could Talk, probably came out as my favorite.
Yeah, all right.
It is. I have no idea what this movie's about.
I believe it's like a romance
but
movie.
But listening to the soundtrack, it's got like hints of like a noir film, but also like very at times Hitchcock-esque with the music. Like, yeah, I know, right?
Weird for a romance, but
right. So like listening to it, it took me two tries to go, like, I listened to all of them twice, because I listened to them once, and then when my boss came in, he was like, oh, I want to hear him, so I was like, okay, we'll listen to him again, and at the end, both he and I both agreed, our favorite was If Beale Street Could Talk.
Oh.
So that is my pick, but if Black Panther wins, I completely understand, and it is deserving of this category.
So, my whole thing is, I have a soft spot for blaxploitation films.
Yes.
And, Black Klansman is like all about that.
It is good. It is a
so
good soundtrack.
I just have to give it to that.
I'm gonna give it to Black Panther.
Okay.
Respect him.
Yeah, I think it was the best I heard all year. And Sean, I'm gonna be honest with you. I would definitely. There's a lot of buzz around If Beale Street Could Talk.
Yes.
I wouldn't be surprised to see that one.
I would recommend you guys sitting, like, I think it's quick. I think it's like 20 minutes is the whole soundtrack. But sit down and listen to a few songs from If Beale Street Could Talk.
Or we could see the movie.
Or
but
screw that. One's quicker than the other one. One, you can do stuff while you're listening. Plus, this is the original score, not the movie we're talking about. You're solely going off of the music. But that music is phenomenal. Very blown away by that. But once again, you know, Black Panther, it was amazing. That soundtrack as well. So, either of those, Chris, I believe, he went Black Panther. So.
All right. So it's now up to me.
Yeah.
All right. We got best film editing. This is always a difficult category because editing is usually something you shouldn't notice in a film. So
and there's no war here, so I feel like war films.
War films.
They usually take these because was it with that Mel Gibson movie last year or the year before?
I keep thinking Heartbreak Ridge, but no. It's
I was going to say Hamburger Hill, so it's got to be something in between.
It's something rich. It begins with an H.
Hacksaw Ridge.
Hacksaw.
All the good movies have been Vince Vaughn in them.
Anyways,
can we preview next year's Oscars, by the way, with this wrestling movie that The Rock's in, that Vince Vaughn's like the main guy?
It's gotten amazing reviews, apparently. Yeah.
Why?
Well, are you going off of the blurbs in the thing?
No. Well, I mean, Rotten Tomatoes, it's a fresh rating, which is usually a good sign that people like it. I don't know what the Metascore is or the fan score, but it's about Paige is her name, the wrestler.
It's some wrestlers from England.
Her dad was a wrestler, and then she became a wrestler, and it's her story.
It's her and
based
her brother,
on a true story.
And,
so,
and he's got The Rock in it.
And Vince Vaughn.
Yeah. Why is Vince Vaughn? Then again, I ask that question whenever Vince Vaughn is.
You should see. I haven't seen it. I really need to sit down and watch it. Was it the Cell Block movie with Vince Vaughn in it?
That's supposed to be really good.
Yeah, I've heard amazing things about it.
Just good.
Yeah. Even the guys at work that have seen it, they're like, "This movie is incredible." So I trust them.
I'm giving this to Black Klansman solely
did
for...
Did you read the noms, Sam?
Sorry. The nominees are Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, The Favorite, Green Book, and Vice.
Okay.
I'm going with Black Klansman solely for that, one scene...
Yes.
...where they're walking on that bridge together, and they're talking about, their favorite, blaxploitation films... And they just keep cutting in with the posters of them films.
Mm-hmm.
I just really like that
scene. Yeah, I thought you were going with that end scene with the guy getting inaugurated into the KKK mixed with the scene of...
Oh, yeah, with Harry Belafonte talking about the guy who gets lynched for a false rape.
Yeah, that was an incredible scene. And that was phenomenal.
Those are some great scenes.
Yeah, so I went with Vice... mainly because I was like, I don't know. But there's been some buzz around Vice in this category. So I was like, hey, any buzz is good buzz, right? So I went with that. But Chris agrees with you, Sam. He went with Black Klansman.
I'm going to say... I would give it to Green Book. And I'll give my pick as Green Book, but I've heard here's John's buzz corner.
Okay.
Right now.
Okay.
So obviously all the guilds give out awards this time of year. The editing guild gave out, and I don't know if they split it comedic and dramatic. I think they do, but one of the winners actually they do. So it was The Favorite one comedy, and drama was Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yes, I remember hearing that.
Which is kind of funny because there was this clip going around on Twitter of this scene that's just really poorly. That, I mean, editing is very much a thing you don't notice. And when you do notice it, it's a problem. And you really notice it, especially when you're keyed into it. But I think there's a thought here of this movie was such a shit show and to have a serviceable movie come out of it was a godlike act of editing.
Yeah.
I
see where that's coming from.
Don't be surprised is all I'm saying.
Who are you going? You said Green Book, right?
I would say Green Book and I guess it's going, that would be my pick, but...
All right.
I don't know. I could see The Favorite, too, but who knows?
Okay. John, I believe you're next.
Best visual effects.
Ooh.
Which...
This is the Knights category. This is what we should actually care about, because I believe as a group... I think I've seen all of them but First Man.
I've seen all of them but Christopher Robin.
Yeah, so.
Maybe our highest participation among all the categories here.
Yeah, probably.
Avengers Infinity War, Christopher Robin, First Man, Ready Player One, and Solo, A Star Wars Story, which is much more of a tongue twister than I thought originally. Anyway. I'm going to give it to... Part of me wants to give it to First Man, but I feel like the achievement in Infinity Wars just kind of dwarfs it. Like, it's just... It's too much to hold back. Like, I think First Man is, like, really good at what it does, but, like, the scale at which Infinity Wars comes off as, like, believable... And, like, good. Just generally, like, just, you know, the visual effects just look great. So I'll give it to Infinity Wars and sleep well tonight.
Okay. Sam?
So I'm going to give it to First Man, but as an honorable mention, just because I want to stick it to Star Wars fans, I really want Solo to win.
Okay.
Just be like, yeah, fuck you. I won an Oscar.
I'll say this. I think the train sequence, the train robbery sequence, is still, like, the best sequence. And that's pretty much all CG.
Yeah.
No, yeah, that was
good. Of
all
these movies, like, that's probably the best individual scene.
There's probably a that's probably the reason they used it in all of their trailers, too. So, I mean.
Yeah.
But I, looking at all these, I'm like, you know, I don't want to give it to Solo because, I mean, that's one of those, you know, shit show movies where, you know, multiple directors go through kind of thing. No one to give it to that. Ready Player One, the graphics weren't like good. You know, it was video game good, but not movie good.
Doesn't it seem like Ready Player One being nominated is like somebody being like, oh, what's a great restaurant? And they just name like a Chinese buffet because it's all you can eat. Like, it's not because it's actually good food, but there's like a lot of it.
It's like somebody being like, oh, what's a good restaurant? And they're like, Arby's. It's like, no, we're not talking fast food restaurant. We're just talking like, about a good
just food,
like,
food.
Oh, okay. With that. I haven't seen First Man. I wish I need to. It's coming up a lot. And I mean, why not? Christopher Robin, I liked it, but, I mean, I wouldn't put it in visual effects category. It's, you know, guy talking to nothing. And then Infinity War, I had problems with the visual effects in there. I brought it up when we reviewed it. But, John, I think you hit the nail on the head. Basically, what they were able to do as a whole, I mean, I nitpicked a couple scenes, but as a whole, I think the movie was amazing visually, you know, visual effect-wise. So I'm going with Infinity War. And I believe Chris is going the same route. But he said, really, it's just a toss-up winner. Like,
and I think part of me, too, like, Infinity War, this is the only thing it was nominated for.
Mm.
I think it should get some recognition.
I
don't think I could find a home for it anywhere else, truthfully, except for maybe the sound categories.
Yeah.
Possibly editing, but it just wouldn't, not really. Like,
Yeah. It's tough, too, because I still go back and I'm like, however you rank them, but like Infinity War was a good movie comparative to Marvel movies. And I feel like, you know, Black Panther's up with it as well. And it's just like the fact that one of those got the best picture nod and the other one barely got any recognition. It's kind of funny. I don't know. It's just me, I guess.
All right. Well, now we're on to what they normally refer to as, I guess, the big eight categories. Or no, this is
six.
No,
the big six.
This is the important stuff,
I guess you would say.
Yeah, and I have Oscars odds for all of these.
Ooh. Okay, so we're going to start with Best Supporting Actor. So you got Mahershala Ali from Green Book, Adam Driver from BlacKkKlansman, Sam Elliott with his first in Stars Born, Richard E. Grant in Can You Ever Forgive Me? And Sam Rockwell in Vice. And so there's some good names on here. Like I said, Sam Elliott's first nom, Sam Rockwell getting this winning this award last year for Three Billboards. So, I mean, there's some good names on here. I had to go with my boy Mahershala for this one. From what I've heard, great job in Green Book.
I can't keep track which ones you haven't seen. It's Green Book. That's the
Green Book
you
I have
seen.
Not seen.
You've seen Black Klansman.
Yes.
Okay. It's those two where, because we talked about it last week, where I was one of those you didn't see, and I was confused.
No, last week we talked Favorite and Black Klansman.
Yeah, but you didn't see The Favorite, right?
I did not.
Yeah.
The other one.
I knew you didn't see The Favorite. Yeah. It was between
Anyways.
Those. You might enjoy Green Book.
Yeah, like I said,
it's an easy watch.
I saw the trailer and I was like, "Ooh, this looks actually surprisingly good." So
it's an easy watch. So
yeah, all right. Anyways,
but for me, my choice is definitely Mahershala. He's just the acting between the two of them is just great in that, and it's hard not to give him that. I know. Also, just, you know, I always like Sam Elliott as an actor, so.
Yeah, I feel like
I'd be okay with him winning.
I want him to. He did a good job, but he's in the movie for, like, less than 10 minutes.
Like, but I don't know if I've ever mentioned this on the podcast, but I've mentioned this before, where it's like, I feel like there's an inverse equation where, like, the presence of Sam Elliott in a film, like, the time that he's in, is inversely related to how good the film is.
So right. Ghost Rider's amazing?
No, but he's in that for like a significant amount.
No, he's not.
Okay, well, there's a couple outliers, all right? But like, you know, like Big Lebowski.
It's a scatterplot, you know?
Yeah, but like Big Lebowski, he's in it for like 1 second. Great amazing movie.
Yeah. All right. Okay. I see it. So Sam, you're going Mahersh. Chris is going Mahersh. John?
Well, it's another head and heart. Although, you know, my heart's with Sam Elliott. Man, when, you know, Bradley Cooper told him, or no, he asked him why he stole his voice.
Like, oh, yeah.
Damn, dude.
Yeah.
That's, and like the scene in the car.
Yep.
Like, that's the feels right there.
Yeah, no, Sam Elliott did amazing.
And I've just always loved Sam Elliott so much. Yes, from just because, like, I watched Gettysburg, like, 100 times as a kid. And he's, like, far and away the best part of that movie.
Oh, yeah. Like, once he's gone, you're like, should I just rewatch the whole stuff with Buford again? Or just power through?
Yeah, he's such a great actor. So, I said the same thing about Sam Rockwell last year, but Sam Elliott is very underappreciated as an actor. And
really all Sams, really.
Yeah,
I feel
like Sams. That. Sucks to be Sams.
All right.
We're underappreciated.
So I've got my odds makers over here.
All right.
For all the acting categories, director and best picture.
Okay.
All right. Really quick, just like introduction to betting on the Oscars. Usually there's like the favorite movies or favorite winners. It's tough because this year there's a movie called The Favorite, but typically the favorite winners are usually heavily favored, especially at this point. So your best strategy is like to find like the possible upsets at like decent to long odds. So like, let me give you an example of this one. And this is, I think, of the ones we'll go through, the most heavily slanted. So Mahershala Ali is by far the favorite here at what is effectively like 1-30 odds, meaning like you have to bet $3,000 to win $100. Whereas Richard E. Grant, Can You Ever Forgive Me, is like 8.5-1. Sam Elliott's 12-1. And the other two guys are 45-1. I'm not saying bet big, but like I kind of like a little sprinkle on Sam Elliott. You never know.
All right.
And like Mahershala, he just won it 2 years ago.
Yeah, right.
And like, I mean, I think he's incredibly gifted. And I don't think there's anything wrong with him winning, but like he did kind of just win.
And you know, and, just as a dark horse, Adam Driver was not bad.
He was really good in Black Klansman. And like I said when we reviewed that, my biggest flaw I had that with that movie is we didn't really dive any deeper into his character. He seemed like a very interesting character.
But like then again, it's not really about him,
right? So even though, you know, he did the dirty work and all, just saying.
Once again, the white man is unappreciated.
In this case, a white Jewish man, but yeah. I mean, it was a good movie, either, and like no matter what, I just would have liked to know a little bit more about Adam Driver's character.
Yeah, yeah,
a little bit more. That. 10 more minutes is all I was asking for. Anyways,
all right. So, Sam.
Yeah, Sam, you're up.
All right. So next is Best Supporting Actress. Our nominees in this category are Amy Adams in Vice, Marina de Tarvina, hopefully I got that right, of Roma, Regina King in If Beale Street Could Talk, Emma Stone in The Favorite, and Rachel Weisz in The Favorite. I don't know why I said Vice.
Weisz.
I just did the German way, but...
She is Rachel Weisz.
Rachel Weisz. I just like pronouncing W's as V's. Mm. It's just fun.
Anyway, so who are you going with, Sam?
You know what? She's really good in this film. Rachel Weisz is the favorite.
All right. Chris agrees with you.
She's just really good in that.
I went with a lot of buzz surrounding this this actress. I went with Regina King with If Beale Street Could Talk. Because like the soundtrack. And
they usually translate to Best Supporting Actress.
Well, I mean, there's been a lot of buzz about her winning. She's won a couple other of those like categories where they kind of mimic with the Oscars kind of thing. So, I mean, it's looking pretty good for her. This could be her year.
Well, she is currently favorited on my thing. Somewhat heavy odds, too. So it's only 1-3. So you have to bet 300 to win 100. Behind her is Amy Adams at essentially 3-1. And then Rachel Weisz at 5.5-1. And then Emma Stone and the woman from Roma, 25-1 for each of those.
Right.
If I had to give it to one person here, and I haven't seen If Beale Street Could Talk, so I would still give it. I really liked what Rachel Weisz did in The Favorite. It's so like nuanced and just like a little crazy and kind of perfect for the movie. And I think Olivia Colman definitely isn't going to win for Best Actress.
We're not there yet.
Well, okay, but like. I think the acting is really good in this movie, and to see somebody go home with something from it would be good. Mm-hmm. Amy Adams in Vice,
I was a little surprised by that.
It's not at 3-1 here. I really don't like the odds. At 5.5-1, I don't hate Rachel Weisz. It's still a little too close for me. Like I'd want to get more return on that. But I think about it.
Hmm.
One of these, like, here's the thing. One of the acting categories always, like, subverts sort of what everyone thinks is going to happen. You know, it goes the other way. So.
Yeah,
yeah. That's true.
Plus, I just like Rachel Weisz's, just like her, like, monotone insults the whole entire film.
Yeah, it's really an incredible job.
Yeah, like, it's like just her just being like, you know, I'm just gonna, you know, be a bitch to you. And it's just really awesome.
All right, so Best Actor.
Ooh, which good category.
I think it's a pretty strong category.
It is,
year.
Yes.
We have Christian Bale for Vice, Bradley Cooper in A Star Is Born, Willem Dafoe in At Eternity's Gate, which we all saw.
Totally. Yep.
Rami Malek in Bohemia Rhapsody, as it says on
the It does say Bohemia.
Yeah, Bohemia.
And Viggo Mortensen in Green Book. I think Viggo Mortensen, listen, if he's not going to win, but if he won for this, that'd be cool.
Okay.
I think Bradley Cooper did a great job. I haven't seen Bohemian Rhapsody. I don't know there. To me, it should be pretty clear cut. Like, Christian Bale, who I think is probably, probably the best actor living, I'd say. Playing a very important character from recent history and just doing like an incredible transformation doing so.
Mm-hmm.
I think this normally should be chalk and should be very straightforward. Do you want me to give you the odds now or wait until you guys?
Wait till we give ours.
Wait.
I think you'll be like amazed what the story is right now.
Sam, what do you got?
So, I mean, once again, a strong category. Rami Malek was probably the best part of Bohemian Rhapsody,
mm-hmm.
which is not, in my opinion, not much competition, but he was really good in that. I just loved him in this movie. It's Viggo Mortensen. Like, he's my pick, but if I have to be like, well, which one do you think is going to win? It's got to be Christian Bale. Just like the transformation he went through and the job he did at that character. Like, I still think Viggo Mortensen did a better job in his role. Plus, he did go through a bit of transformation. He got put on that big gut. No. But still, just like, I feel like the Academy would go straight for Christian Bale.
Mm. Yeah, Chris also went Viggo Mortensen. I went with Christian Bale, but I know that huge buzz around Rami Malek.
He did a good job.
Because if Bohemian Rhapsody was to win something, this would be it. Kind of like a middle finger to Bryan Singer, like, haha, you didn't win anything. We're giving an individual thing
to
Rami Malek, not to, and you don't get to share this kind of thing. So he did win a couple of those other awards.
The smaller awards, leading up to the SAGs show.
Rami Malek, I forget which ones he won, but so there's a lot of buzz around him, but I mean, just based on trailers alone, when I saw Christian Bale as Vice President,
Dick
Cheney. Thank you. I'm like, why am I thinking Gerald Ford? Why am I thinking Gerald Ford?
Here's the weird part. When you said that, the first name that popped in my head for some reason was Nicolas Cage.
Vice President Nick Cage.
Which would be an amazing movie.
What, him as Cheney?
Like, I would
love to see that.
I wasn't even thinking of that. I was thinking of like some like really like off the walls action movie where like he's the vice president, but now
or drama,
you know. But it would come off just as an entertaining action movie. But he's like the vice president, but like president gets like killed, and now he has to be the president, but he has to fight terrorists while he's doing it.
And he has to find out who killed the president. And he finds out, like, his suit got burned. And he's like, How did it get burned?
And then, like, the terrorists take the Declaration of Independence. So he has to steal it back. And there's a treasure map on the back for some reason.
Oh, man.
So, dovetailing off of what Sean said, I'm going to, for the first and perhaps last time in the history of this podcast, read from a New York Times article. So this guy, one of the reporters here, he talked to 20 Academy members about what they voted for and all that and just what their general sense of the field was. So here's a quote from it. Almost everyone admitted that Bohemian Rhapsody was a guilty pleasure to watch. However, as Rami Malek turned in an Oscar-worthy performance as Freddie Mercury, and then in parentheses, all 20 people I contacted said Malek had their vote for best actor.
Yeah.
Which is maybe the most astonishing. Again, I haven't seen this movie, But that's just astonishing to me.
It's kind of like he does a great job. John, you've definitely undersold this movie for not saying he doesn't lip sync in this. It is his voice. But at times they do.
I know it was up for sound mixing, but I thought the matching up the sound to him singing just wasn't that great.
Yeah.
Like, it seemed like, I know it was him singing, but right. It seemed like it was lipsy.
Because, like,
especially the concert scene at the very end. I thought that was just...
Okay. Because I was watching it, and Chris came downstairs, and he started watching it, and he goes, oh, your sound is off.
Hang on, can I just be real?
Yeah.
Can I just be real with you for a second? Yes, watching a pirated version of the movie. Like, the sound's going to be fucked up.
Well, Sam, did you see it in the movie theater?
I saw it in the movie theater.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, okay, all right. So there
you go. Like, John.
In that scene, the sound seemed off.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah.
That's fair.
Because when I was watching it, Chris goes, oh, your sound is off. And I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, it's probably just because, you know, it's a pirated version or whatever. I'm streaming it. So I just chalked it up to that. But with you saying that you watched it in theaters and it was like that, I mean, I noticed it. But the rest of the film I thought was good. The matching up with the voices and whatnot. And I know Rami Malek got this part because he sent an audition of him singing Queen songs to, was it Brian May, the lead guitarist of Queen? He sent him basically his audition being like, can I be Freddie Mercury? And like, here's the job I can do. So there are a lot of scenes where he's singing not, you know, a recorded song. So, he did do a lot of singing himself, but if you're going musical wise, I mean, A Star Is Born, because they did it live, it's just so much better.
All right.
So much better. All right. Here's the betting markets really quick.
Yeah. Really quick.
So that article I think really shifted it. And you know, you'd said he had won two. I think he won the SAG award. He's -650, which is very steep. Favorite right now. This is Rami Malek.
Yes.
Christian Bale's 3-1. I don't hate Christian Bale at 3-1. Because I just... there's just at the end of the day, I feel like, man, I just can't not see him winning. Like, I know all the buzz is going in one direction, but it's like... Sometimes, like, just... things go to chalk. Like, sometimes the world makes sense. There's order among chaos. Which is an incredible Dick Cheney way to think about it. So maybe that's sort of self-fulfilling. Bradley Cooper's on here, 15-1. I think the time's kind of come and gone. Viggo Mortensen at 75-1 is like a really interesting punt if you really like want to just throw down $2 and just see what happens.
All right.
But it's
not crazy for him to win. I mean,
it wouldn't be insane.
No,
like, but I don't think that's gonna happen. No.
It looks like it's pretty much. I shouldn't say toss up. It looks like it's gonna be a fight between Bale and Malek.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
So, all right. So next category. Best actress. So best actress, we've got Yalitza Aparicio. I don't know how to say that. From Roma.
Roman.
Glenn Close from The Wife. Olivia Colman from The Favourite. Lady Gaga from A Star Is Born. And I still can't believe this name. Melissa McCarthy from Can You Ever Forgive Me?
Second Oscar nomination for her.
What was her first?
Bridesmaids.
She was nominated for Bridesmaids?
Best Supporting Actress.
Oh, my God. Anyways...
This is the most boring one. Can we just say it's going to be Glenn Close?
Yeah, it's there is a lot of buzz around Olivia Colman, but it looks like everybody's saying it's going to be Glenn Close. This is her seventh nom.
Yeah,
she's basically got this one. It looks good. for a movie I don't think any of us have seen. Or
this is the only nomination for that movie. Right. This is the first time.
Can I throw one thing out there? Oh, sorry to.
No, all I was going to say is this is the first time I've heard of this movie. Is this nomination?
Yeah,
like, I don't even remember it being in theaters anywhere. No. Or, like,
The Wife just sounds like a movie that the best, you know, would win Best Actress for.
Yeah.
I always thought Lady Gaga, like, okay, she did incredibly good when you grade her on the curve for, like, entertainment, for, like, person who has, like, almost no acting experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she did phenomenal.
Yeah.
I don't know if she did, like, best, like, top five good.
Yeah.
You know?
There's always been critics amongst, for her acting ever since, like, I think her first true acting gig was on American Horror Story.
Right.
I mean, don't she won that, but but everybody was very critical of her acting, basically saying it was not good. Which I've seen her in American Horror Story. I've seen her in A Star Is Born. She definitely improved her acting skills like tenfold for this movie. Maybe it's because, you know, the movie surrounds things she's used to, you know.
Right.
She has stuff to draw on.
Right. So, I mean, you know.
And I think part of it, too, is, like, you can't separate the singing from the performance entirely either.
Right.
Like, that's part of it, you know?
Yes.
Mm.
Glenn Close is going to win.
Yeah, it looks that way.
All right.
Sam?
Who's got Best Director?
All right, so we got Best Director. Usually a sign of who's going to win Best Picture.
They occasionally go hand in hand, more times than not.
Yeah, yeah.
Though very recently, last couple of years, it has split. But typically
Last year it didn't.
Yeah, Del Toro took both.
But like the previous couple of years, it split.
Yeah.
So we got Spike Lee in Black Klansman.
Come on, Sam, you're Polish.
I know. gonna have to do my people proud. Is that an L at the end?
That's Paul. Sam, Paul Ski. Come on.
Lisky in Cold War. God damn it.
I love how Sam got this one.
Yorgos Lanthimos. The Greek guy from The Favorite. Alfonso Cuarón, Roma.
Okay, close enough.
And the hardest one.
Here's how you have to pronounce all these names. Is take a second to read it, and then just say it very quickly. Paolo Pawlowski. Like, okay, there you go.
And
I don't know if that's how you say it, but it sounds convincing.
Adum Makai.
Yes.
For Vice.
I believe that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah, I believe that's how you
Yeah, so as Chris puts this, the most unimpressive category, which I totally disagree with.
Okay, I don't know.
I don't know how he says this is unimpressive.
That's so cold as ice, man.
Like, I look at it, I'm like, Spike Lee's a good director. He did a great job with Black Klansman. I've heard good things about Cold War. Heard good things about The Favorite, obviously. Roma, amazing things from that. And then Adam McKay. I feel like Adam McKay is definitely the standout here. Not in a good way. Like, I would say he's the lesser of the, five choices.
He's probably the weakest. Yeah.
Especially, there's a part of Vice, too, that it's like, sometimes it's not great to be like, yeah, he directed the hell out of this, you know?
Yeah, it was a bit, like, over-directed sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, so from? I feel like it's a toss-up between Yorgos and Spike Lee.
Okay.
It's probably going to go with Spike Lee, but I'll go with Yorgos.
You're going Yorgos? Okay. John?
The Greek Freak.
Who are you going with?
I think who I think it's going to be versus who I think should be is probably about the same. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is the best five I would make, but I think if of it, I would. I think you got to give it to Korra.
Okay.
And part of it too is that some of the actors in that movie were like very like fresh names. Like the main character who's the housekeeper, I think she was like a teacher. Like she's not like an actress. So, you know, it just got incredible performances out of them, which, you know, some people were saying, well, yeah, Bradley Cooper did the same thing with Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he should be up there too, which another conversation for another time, which I mean, by which I mean, we're never going to talk about, but that's fine too. I'll give it to Cuarón for both, for what I think should and what I think will.
Yeah, I'm going Cuarón as well, but I do feel like if Spike Lee's got a chance. I feel like he's
yeah, I feel definitely like, got a I chance. I feel like he's in some ways like, what's his face? Goodfellas.
Martin Scorsese. Yes.
Martin Scorsese, when Martin Scorsese won for The Departed. Like, not saying Departed is not a good movie at all.
Right.
But, like, I feel like he won that mostly because of his previous stuff he's done.
Like how, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio won it for probably one of his weakest performances.
Yeah, yeah. Sort of like, yeah. It's like, this may not be your best performance or your best job as director, but you know what? You deserve an Oscar at some point in your career. Let's give it to you now.
Yeah.
So... betting markets have it right now. Cuarón's a very heavy favorite at minus 1500, but Spike Lee plus 500, so 5-1 odds for him. So that's one I think I like some upsets better, but I'd consider it. If there was like if there was like a live betting thing where like Roma wasn't making it in some of these categories early on, although I don't know what it's really going to lose. I think it's nominated for some stuff that it's not going to win, but I think the things that we're expecting it to win, it's going to win, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like foreign language. It's like,
yeah, like foreign language.
How's it gonna lose that?
Cinematography, you know, best director, I think, is just another one. It's going to win here. And then... Are we at the final?
Yeah, at the final. The big cheese.
Best picture. The one we've been talking about now for a month. I hope we're not boring you to death. Although there's no fucking way you're still listening if that's the case. So real quick, Black Panther, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, The Favorite, Green Book, Roma, A Star Is Born, Vice. Guys, before we go through and give our picks here.
Mm-hmm.
What did we just generally think? Is this an up year, a down year, average year?
I would say average.
I'd say average down.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I'm where Sam is. I don't think it's like an outright awful year, but
I think
it's less than spectacular.
Yeah. I mean, you look at some of the choices. I mean, Bohemian Rhapsody. Everybody said it was a guilty pleasure, but I mean, it wasn't not the best movie of the year. I'm not saying you, Sam. I'm saying people.
It's like, you know, Vice is people. A mess.
Vice was a mess. It didn't get great reviews. You know,
Black Panther, Black Klansman are good in some ways, but not exactly great in many or any.
Right.
The Favorite and Roma are two very artsy movies.
Yes.
And Green Book is very charming, but just kind of there.
Yeah.
And I think A Star Is Born is an achievement, but also not particularly great.
No,
I don't think I'd say any of these movies are great.
Plus, when it's the fourth time you're making it, it's like that gotta take something out of it. Where it's like, just do something.
Well,
better.
And
it's not as if that story, I mean, and even besides the fact it's a fourth remake, it's a common story too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. But like my I think it ended up being the highest rated movie for me of the year. So, like, probably my favorite movie of the year, hands down. But, I mean, I still had a lot of flaws with it. Like, watching it, there were different parts where it was, like, just zooming through the process of her becoming a star, like, yeah, really quickly. And that kind of bummed me out, because it felt like we were going really fast at some parts and then slowing down for others. Whereas, like, you know, I just want to go back a year and go back to Shape of Water. And I didn't, looking at Shape of Water, I didn't feel like any of that. I was very happy with that choice. I was very confident with that choice, and I really liked that choice. Yeah. And this year, there's no movie where I feel like that.
You also, like, I just couldn't, like, understand some of the shit Bradley Cooper was saying. It's just as simple as that. It's like he's fucking, like, I have no idea.
Well, it makes sense because, I mean, I've dealt with a family with a recovering alcoholic at the time. And trust me, you can't understand a damn word they say.
Right.
So it was a great job of portraying an alcoholic. But the problem is,
you need to hear what they're saying.
Yeah, that's like, he did a great job, but at the same time, it's like, for a movie, I mean, it's tough, like, to convey that as a main character. You can do that as, like, a supporting actor, you know, where it's, like, really hard to understand them, but when it's the main character, you know, pushing the story forward, it's really tough to have them that accurate.
Yeah, and then you realize he's doing a Sam Elliott impression, and you're like, okay, maybe. All right, so we can't push this off any longer.
Nope.
I'm gonna give the odds makers first, and then we can give our picks.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. So really quick, just to run through these, Roma is -450, pretty good favorite for, you know, a 7-horse race, so to speak. Eight movies? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's eight. I've seen half of them.
So that's pretty good odds. Green Book at 4-1. So that's still a possibility of an upset. Then you've got Stars Born and the favorite at 16-1. Black Panther 20-1. Black Klansman and Bohemian Rhapsody at 30-1. And Vice at 100-1, which, you know, isn't going to happen anyway.
No.
So it's pretty much, okay, let's do this two ways. First off, one, would you take Roma or The Field right now?
I mean, based on my choices, I'm taking Roma.
I'll take The Field, honestly.
I would take The Field, too. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, just in the odds maker thing, Black Panther at 20-1 is just sitting there, and I'm like, sometimes the way you got to bet on some of these things, if the odds are so crazy off, like, not even expecting to win, but if you do, the payout would be, like, stupid. Like, you know, just drop down $20 that you probably aren't going to see again. But, like, there's like a reasonable chance you could win $400 there. That's all I'm going to say. All right. I think that if I make one bet, I think that'd be the bet. But I'm going to say, and actually, fuck it. Your best picture is Black Panther. And here's why.
Okay.
It is in no means my, like, oh, this is the best movie of the year. But here's my rationale right now. There's no clear-cut favorite. The entire field, as we mentioned, is kind of flawed. Or at least nothing stands out.
Yeah.
And everything's kind of meh on itself. There's no, and it's not as if they're all great movies in their own way, I guess is what I'm trying to get at. So you start getting into the, like, preferential balloting stuff where they start, like, you know, saying, like, okay, what your second and third favorite movie actually matters. And I think Black Panther is, one, a good story for the Oscars if it wins, which an institution like this has to perpetuate its importance to matter, pretty much, because no one else is going to make it important if they don't. I just feel like everything, a lot of stuff is just going to go to chalk, but this one isn't. And I think Roma, I don't think people want to get Roma over the edge. Like, I just feel like people know they it should be Roma, but it's just not going to be at the end of the day. You know what I mean? Like every once in a while, it just doesn't turn out that way. So I'm gonna say Black Panthers is going to win on a total like lark here, and I'm gonna be wrong. But,
okay, all right. I went with Roma, going straight up. I know Chris went with Green Book, and one of his notes here is that Roma is literally the thing trying to kill the movie-going experience and should not win. And I understand what he means by that, as in, you know, it's a Netflix film, so therefore, you know, nobody went to go see it in theaters. But most of the time, that's the same about most of these films. It's very rare that you get a film like A Star is Born or Black Panther that made a lot of money in the box office. Most of these kind of fly under the radar. So I understand where Chris is coming from, but at the same time, it's like, Chris, none of these are making that much money until after the Oscars. Like,
can I say one thing to his point?
What?
Roma's also, in a weird way, like the worst kind of movie to watch on Netflix. Like, it's a movie that, like, demands your attention, and, like, you should just kind of, like, slink into it and experience it all and take it all in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you should see, if you're going to see it, you should see it on a big screen.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, at the same time, I don't think there's a single person in my life I'd be like, oh, go pay $20 to see that movie.
Yeah.
Like, and they won't come back and, like, murder me.
Oh, man.
So,
yeah,
it's a sticky thing, you know.
Yeah,
and I don't know. Do they give it to
Manchester by the Sea? Got pretty good Oscar buzz, and I believe took home what actor with and that was an Amazon movie,
the lesser Affleck.
Yeah,
yeah, but Amazon isn't like Netflix. They give it a wide release. They actually release it into theaters.
But at the same time, like we're talking about, you know, the ever evolving movie going experience, and Roma is right in the thick of it. Like, they're on a streaming service, and that's where movies are headed, whether or not the movie theaters like it or not. I mean, that's kind of where everything's headed. So Chris also noted, he did say Green Book was his pick. He said he picked Green Book to win, and he said he can't see how it's able to win if Viggo and Mahershala both do not get
win. Oh, yeah, if they don't win, Green Book's not winning.
Right.
If they both win, okay, there's a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, if let me tell you, if Viggo Mortensen wins Best Actor, it's like fucking game on. or if it wins the writing category.
Yeah.
Because they really like don't like the guy's son who wrote it because of the Trump tweets. So those happen, then like, buckle in.
You're in for a wild ride. Woo. So my pick, just based off of which one of these I enjoyed the most, is The Favorite.
Okay.
I enjoy The Favorite the most out of all of these. Roma definitely is getting a lot of buzz, so I could see that winning. But you know what? John, you might be onto something. Like, Black Panther might be the black horse.
Oh, God.
hey, John. Don't go, oh, God, this is good for us.
No, I know.
If, like, the Oscars are all of a sudden being like, you know what? Comic book movies, we'll start taking this seriously. We might start getting some, like, really good quality comic book movies.
Right, well, I mean,
Once the studios are like, wait, we can win awards for this as well as make money.
Yeah. I do also stand firm that Black Panther is solely in the best picture because of that popular vote.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's why it's here. But
No other reason. Like it put it up against any other year, and you'd be like, "There's why is Black Panther even on there? Like it shouldn't be." But this year, very weak.
I don't know. I don't know if it shouldn't be on there. But like, given how the Oscar votes usually lay out, yeah, it's not going to be there.
Yeah, but
the thing is that it's the probably the most culturally significant movie of the year.
Right. No, I agree. I totally agree.
With the possible exception of Infinity War. The possible. Yeah.
I think the way it's probably going to be Roma, but And I don't think Black Klansman or Vice will ever have a shot here.
No.
And I just don't think there's a coalition, so to speak, for the favorite that would get it across the line. And I think A Star Is Born, it's just time has come and gone. Like, it's just not going to happen either.
Mm-hmm.
But hang on. Bohemian Rhapsody is like the dark horse right now.
No, I agree on that one.
Like, there's like a 1% chance, but that's 1% more than I think everybody was giving it, like, you know.
I mean, a month ago. It did win. What did it win? What did Bohemian Rhapsody win? It did win like something.
Didn't
it
win Golden Globe or something?
It won something impressive, like that nobody saw coming. So I mean, yeah, like John said, I mean, keep an eye on Bohemian. I mean, it's a distant dark horse, but I mean, I feel like it's gained speed since these noms were announced. So
you know, that'd be a victory for Diddling Kids. Yeah,
let's not get into that. Anyways, so that is our Academy Awards. I guess not preview, but those are our choices. I hope you had a pen and piece of paper handy to keep track of all of that.
Because we are always right.
Always. I did pretty damn good last year. So just going with that. I'm riding high on that. So any last thoughts on the 91st Academy Awards? No? Okay. I kept hearing John, like, you were like, and I'm like, oh, he's going to say something, but nothing happened.
Just smacking my lips for no reason over here. The whole thing's going to be a shit show. It's going to be very interesting to see what it's like. Yeah. The whole, they've gotten so much backlash and bullshit from this thing that I feel like it's almost like... Like, when somebody, like, makes you a gift, but it's so exhausting in the process of making it, they're just like, here, take it. Hope you like it.
Is your damn Oscars, huh? You happy now?
With your Brad Pitts and your Leonardo DiCaprios.
Anyway. I don't know what you people want.
All right.
The real podcast will be back next week.
Yep. All right, we will definitely discuss the happenings of the Academy Awards on top of a few other things. You're just going to have to tune in and find out.
All the breakdown of how there's not a Star Wars Episode 9 trailer yet.
Yeah.
Is coming up.
All right. Well, have a great weekend, everyone. Enjoy those Oscars. I know we will. And, we will see you next week.
All right. Bye, everybody.
You really pod me.